Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Hockey Writers Podcast with me, Sebastian Noren, and Marcy DeMichelle. Marcy, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right today.
Sweet. More snow or no?
Not at the moment. It's actually sunny today, so it's good.
That sounds pretty awesome. Yeah, I was going out, taking my dogs outside this morning, and I was like, ooh, it's cold. And I looked at the thermometer, and it's 57. I'm in sweats and a hoodie and a beanie and everything, and I can just imagine how it must be over there in Montreal.
Well, it's minus, okay, well, I'm talking in Celsius, it's minus 6, which is pretty cold, but not too bad. Could be worse.
Yeah, I'm not very good at, well, I am good at Celsius, but I'm not very good at converting.
No, neither am I.
So, just know it's below freezing. People,
if exactly. You,
yeah. Okay, well, let's jump into the hockey, and it's been pretty quiet on the trade front. We have the roster freezes here starting today, later on today, if you're hearing this Friday, we're recording Friday, and going up to the day after Christmas. But we had one trade a couple days ago where Tim Erickson left the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Chicago Blackhawks' Jeremy Moran. And Moran wanted out of the Blackhawks. I think he was looking to get some more playtime and a big role. So his wish were, you know, that was fulfilled. And Tim Erickson becomes one of the many Swedish defensemen on the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, I mean, Moran, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he showed, like, a lot of promise in the AHL, so, you know, you're always hoping that that's going to translate to the NHL level, but, I mean, on a team like the Blackhawks, it's kind of hard. It's hard to break through. It's hard to, you know, you're probably not going to crack the top six, so you're not going to get a ton of quality minutes, you know, and, I mean, you're probably not going to get much power play time. I mean, he did have some chances, but, I mean, he was a healthy scratch more often than not, so it makes sense for them. They're dealing from a position of strength, and at this point, the Blue Jackets could pretty much use any forwards they can get, because Scott Hartnell is out for a couple weeks, so, you know, Moran's going to have a chance, I hope, for his sake. I mean, he's only 23, so, sorry, Erickson's 23, and Moran's 23 as well, so, I mean, he's got a lot of chance to prove himself.
Yeah, and like you said there, I feel like there was just too many players ahead of Moran in that lineup with the Blackhawks. And with Scott Hartnell out, I think he hurt his finger somehow, if he broke it or not, I don't remember. But yeah, he'll have a good shot there. And Tim Erickson, I'm never been a big fan of his. I feel like it says a lot when you're already in your... Well, this is his third organization, and he's only 23 years old. But, I mean, he can be a bottom-pairing guy. That shouldn't be a problem. And, you know, Duncan Keith is out day-to-day with illness. And so he had a shot there the other night, and they had four Swedish defensemen. You know, you got Hjalmarsson, you got Oduya, and Rundblad, and then Erickson.
Yeah, I think Erickson would fit in well with the Blackhawks system. I mean, like I mean he's gonna be I think he's gonna be an RFA, so I like this is kind of his chance. But yeah, like you said, he is more of a bottom pairing guy. I think on a strong team, I think he has a better chance of succeeding. And he just, you know, being one of those depth guys. But I mean, who knows if he's gonna end up on another team next year or something.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. You know, with the Blackhawks, they possess the puck a lot, so you're not put in those same extreme situations as he's been in the past with Columbus. But, yeah, we'll see how he does. I'm still not sure that Erickson is going to be a solid NHL guy, because he still hasn't played that many games.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
And then moving over to injuries, and we'll start with the Anaheim Ducks, who lost another player, and that's Kyle Palmieri, out with a shoulder injury, put on IR. just the other day here. And, yeah, another injury for the Ducks.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, the Ducks, they beat the Canadiens last night. And, you know, Montreal's a good team. So they're just showing, you know, they're showing that, you know, they've got the depth, you know, to really carry them through. I mean, I hope that they're going to be getting healthy because, you know, they're one of those teams that you know they're a good team, but, you know, injuries is probably going to be the only thing that's going to derail them, you know. Like, and so, I mean, for their sake, I'm hoping that they start to get a little healthier. But at the same time, I mean, it just kind of feels like they're able to withstand pretty much anything at this point. And, you know, the Ducks are one of those teams that the playoffs is really all that matters to them. So as long as they can get healthy, get all their guys back and in the lineup, you know, when the playoffs come, I mean, that's what counts. I mean, unless they go on some kind of terrible tailspin, I mean, they're going to be there at the end of the year. So for them, I mean, it's just a matter of staying, trying to stay as healthy as they can and getting their guys back when it counts.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, they've been strong here. And it's really fun to see here. And now they got Brizgalov is signed, and a lot of interesting things happening in Anaheim.
Yeah.
For sure. And who else is out? Well, we got Jaden Schwartz out. Yeah. For once, we got more than just upper body, lower body. We actually have a right foot injury.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Blues are another one of those teams that you just feel like there's always somebody injured with them. And, you know, like last night, I mean, their goaltending wasn't that great. So I feel like the Blues are another one of those teams that they need to be healthy because they're constantly missing guys. And, you know, it takes a toll on you after a while. I don't think the injury is like going to be super long term for him, but, you know, you just have to hope that they, because, you know, you want to see what these teams can really do when they actually have all their players. But I feel like the Blues, especially like the last couple of years, they always have guys out, and you don't know how good they can be without their top players. So I'm hoping that, you know, same kind of deal with the Ducks, that they can get healthy when it matters, and you can really see how good of a team they can be.
Yeah, saying that St. Louis goaltending was questionable last night was putting it nicely. So, of course, that one free goal, you can't really do much about that.
Yeah.
That's a story for another time. And then Winnipeg Jets and Jakob Trouba, who has an upper body injury. He was put on IR on December 14th. And, one of many injured Winnipeg Jets defensemen.
Yeah, I think at this point the Jets pretty much have Dustin Byfuglien and AHL guys. It's been tough for them. You know, Trouba, he kind of flies under the radar a little bit. I don't know, maybe because people don't really take Winnipeg seriously, I guess, at this point. Like, they're probably not considered like a real contender. But, you know, Trouba is, he's really developing into an amazing defenseman, and he's going to be a huge loss for them. But, you know, they just acquired Jay Harrison to kind of like give them a little bit of depth. But, you know, again, it's another situation of, you know, just constantly losing guys. And at some point it takes a toll. And Winnipeg actually, you know, they look better this year. They definitely look better. And so it's a real shame they had to lose Trouba. But I mean, he'll be back. I'm hoping that they can kind of tread water until they get some of their guys back. Cause like I feel like they definitely have taken some steps of improvement this year, so hopefully they can sustain that.
Yeah, and I felt like their decor was pretty solid. I know, you know, Toby Enstrom isn't the Toby Enstrom of old, but, I mean, he's still a really good defenseman. Zach Bogosian does a great job there, and like you said, Jakob Trouba, I mean, phenomenal prospect. I mean, I really dig that guy, and I think they have another guy in Mark Scheifele. I mean, two of the more, like, really two guys you need to keep an eye on that can become really good players. So, and then I think, actually, they have Stewart out day-to-day, too.
Yep, he's out.
Another defenseman. So, yeah, it's got to be tough, and, you know, like you said, Byfuglien, they had to put Byfuglien back on defense, you know, which is not ideal, because I feel like Byfuglien is, just as Brent Burns, I feel like both those guys are better at playing forward.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see there. I mean, as you can say, if they can tread water there for a while and just keep, you know, being in the race at least and get these guys back, yeah, they can definitely do some damage. And I feel like, you know, Pavelec has really proven a lot of people wrong, including myself. I never rated him. And he's, you know, their goaltending has actually been pretty solid.
Yeah, that's a big reason why they've been doing well. And, you know, Pavlik is one of those guys who nobody expects much from him. So it's kind of like all you can do is go up. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're expecting so much of him and he's letting them down. Like, it's kind of a situation like he has the opportunity, yeah, to really prove people wrong. Because I don't think, I mean, I didn't expect that much of him. I don't really think anybody else did. But clearly Winnipeg does. They believe in him. They always have. And, you know, I'm hoping that this is the real him and he can continue to get better from here.
Yeah, because that's the thing. He must show something in practice or something that we just haven't seen. Because
yeah.
I've been saying for years, I'm like, why do they keep going to this guy?
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for him. And, you know, I bet he's happy proving people wrong. So that's it for injuries. We got a little topic here too, because early this morning, we saw that the Washington Capitals sent down Swedish Andrei Burakovsky to the Hershey Bears in the AHL, and it was sort of a surprise because they told the Swedish Hockey Association that Burakovsky would not be available for the World Juniors because they needed him. And then they sent him down to the AHL.
Yeah.
So now the Swedish Hockey Association is really pissed off, which is understandable. And I think it was pretty funny because the vice president, his name is Peter Forsberg.
Okay.
It's not the Peter Forsberg. It's just a different guy named Peter Forsberg. And, he's obviously upset, and he feel like it's a breach of contract because if a player is in the AHL, he should be available for selection. So he's going to send an angry email to the Washington Capitals and ask for an explanation.
Yeah, obviously there's a reason that none of us know. He's kind of been a healthy scratch in the NHL, and he's going to get like major minutes obviously in Hershey, but the World Juniors to me it's a great experience for these guys because they're playing against the best in the world. It's not like you're sending him back to junior and you know, there's nothing left for him to do. You know what I mean? Like, this is a great tournament against like really top quality players. So can you really say that the AHL is going to have better competition than the World Juniors? Like, I don't think so. But I guess the issue here is that, you know, if he's at the World Juniors, he's lost to them. They can't recall him if they want to. And I think at the moment they're feeling that they want to have the option to bring him back to the NHL, which is fine. But I feel like, he needs to play. So if they call him back up, I hope that he's, you know, on the ice and not in the press box. So that's, I mean, obviously I don't really understand it, but I guess for the Capitals, they want that option of having him back and being able to recall him.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I can see it from their point of view, but as you say, I feel like the World Juniors, it's a great tournament, and Burakovsky would probably be, you know, top line for Sweden, too.
For sure.
He would play a bunch of minutes, he would be put in all different situations, and I think, you know, sort of being one of the leaders of Team Sweden would be of bigger benefit to him than playing with the Bears in the AHL.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll see what happens if they can work it out here so that maybe Burakovsky can play anyways. I don't know. Because that was definitely a big blow to the Swedish team. And, you know, they're hoping to grab a medal here. So, we'll see what happens. And it is kind of weird since he's been a healthy scratch for 5 out of the last 6 games or something like that.
So,
Peter Forsberg emailing NHL and Washington to get an explanation. That must be hilarious. I wish I could read that email.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, moving on. And the Calgary Flames announced that they signed an extension with coach Bob Hartley. Multi-year extension. I don't know why we can't get the exact number of years here, but whatever. So this might actually, you know, barring that he will get fired in a year or so, he can actually become one of the longest-serving head coaches in Flames history.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's funny because it seems like coaches signing contract extensions doesn't mean a whole lot, because I feel like, no, you know, the last couple guys who got fired had a few years left. So, but anyways, you know, the Flames, they've lost a few and, like, kind of came back down to earth a little bit. But, you know, I feel like he's really tapped into his players. Like, he really knows how to get them to buy in. What they're building there is really something great. And obviously, I feel like now they're kind of more back to where we all thought they would be. And they were really overachieving, you know, at the start of the season. But I think that people were kind of like, why did they sign him in the middle of a losing streak? But I think it had nothing to do with that. I think they saw what he was doing with them, not only this year, tail end of last year, they had a great run as well. And I think they can see that, you know, Hartley is the right guy for this group. And he's a great coach. He's a Stanley Cup winner. So I think they definitely made the right decision. It doesn't mean that he'll be there for the duration of the contract, but, you know, he's a right guy for that team, and I look forward to seeing what the Flames are going to do in the future.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good stint, you know, when he coached the Avalanche, like you said, won the Stanley Cup. Then he coached the Atlanta Thrashers. So, I mean, it's a good guy, of course. And I was just shocked that the Calgary Flames has not had a head coach stay more than 5 seasons in their history.
Yeah, that is a little bit surprising, but I guess, you know, you look at, especially recently, like, they've kind of had, you know, they kind of had their ups and downs. I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup final, and then, you know, they kind of went, kind of fell off a little bit, and now the past few years they haven't been good, so I'm not really, it is a little surprising, but at the same time, I'm not all that shocked, considering if you look at their record the past few years, like, it's been so up and down, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and then, I think, like you said, you know, with Calgary sort of being, you know, in this rebuild and all that, I don't think the losing streak should play in at all. And it's a project. They're going to keep rebuilding. You know, they have a pretty fresh GM, too. Brad Treveling came in, you know, in April.
Yeah.
So, I think they're onto something there. It's just going to take some time.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, and now for our big topic. So, welcome everyone to Edmonton Oilers Talk. No, it's going to be a lot of Oilers because they've been in the news a lot here lately. And they started off by firing coach Dallas Eakins.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I feel like this is like their fifth coach, or, you know, fifth coaching change, like, in the past, like, since 2009 or whatever. That's crazy. And, you know, and of course, everyone's going to be like, oh, the players are uncoachable, whatever. But look, let's face it, coaching is not the, you know, their biggest problem. The roster is the biggest problem. You know, they have no depth. You know, they have no goaltending. It's unfortunate for Eakins. If he's a great coach or not, it's hard to say. With that team, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a weak team. They've lost, I mean, when they fired him, they had lost 15 out of 16 games. And, yeah, it's just a free fall. And it's hard because they have, some talent up front. I mean, you could say that they have some really top-end talent, actually. It's just that they've not been able to put it all together, and it's hard when you don't have any good defenseman or, a goaltender who can bail you out on a, every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Look, this is the Oilers to me. You know, they've built a team around three players: Jordan Eberle, Taylor Hall, and Ryan, right? And then, you think it's time to add a defenseman in the draft. They went with Yakupov instead of Ryan Murray. Now, look, is Ryan Murray going to be, an amazing defenseman? I don't know, but they decided to go with another smallish forward in Yakupov. And then they signed Justin Schultz, who they believed was going to be that stud defenseman that they needed. But you know what? He's just really taken a step back. Like, he is not developing. I mean, he shows flashes every now and then, but he's been pretty terrible on some nights. So his development is not going very well. That I think that may have been part of the reason for the firing, that they didn't feel like that Eakins was developing the players properly for whatever reason. But the Oilers, the way they built their team was just not, it wasn't good. That, ideally you want to build from the net out. I mean, they have two backup goalies instead of a number one. You know what I mean? Their depth on defense is not great. So yeah, there's just a lot of problems with this team overall.
Yeah, and isn't it the fact too that, the upper brass, isn't that just the same people that it's been for a long time now?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote an article a while back just saying that, you know what, what needs to happen here is just a complete change of culture. In other words, Kevin Lowe gone, Craig McTavish gone, all those guys just start over, and just get completely new blood, not former Oilers that for some reason the organization, I can understand, I guess, feels loyalty to, whatever. But you know what, just clean house and start from the top, because it's from the top down that you build a team. You need the right management in place. And the management for the past few years, just it hasn't worked. And I mean, I'm not gonna like say it's all Kevin Lowe's fault, but he plays a big part in it, and McTavish as well. I mean, like, think about it this way: McTavish was the coach, like, what, 6 years ago or whatever, and now he's back again. Like, he's like he never really left, and it's like the team has been bad the whole time. Like, something's wrong there. So to me, I feel like it's just time to start over. Rebuild the rebuild, I guess. They've got some good pieces. It's not, hope is not all lost, but I feel like they just need a new direction.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like they need to maybe give up one of these, smallish forwards and actually get a real defenseman in. Because if you put Justin Schultz with a like really good top pairing defensive defenseman, I think he could do well. But he needs that support if he's going to be successful.
Well, okay, there's been obviously, everyone knows there's been a lot of talk about possibly trading Taylor Hall. But here's the thing to me, with the whole trading Hall. If you're going to trade a player like that, you need to get a player who's just as good or better. For example, like when the Bruins traded Tyler Seguin last year, to me that was a bad trade. And I think they were right, whether they admit it or not. They loved him, that's fine. But they did not get the right parts back. And that's what worries me about trading Hall, that I'm afraid that the Oilers are going to trade Hall for a package of players that are not as good as him and draft picks that they don't need because they already have. And so it's like, it's not going to make them better. If they trade Hall, it's got to be, okay, it's not, this isn't going to happen, but I'm just making an example for someone like a Subban, right? Or someone like a Tuukka Rask or somebody like that who's definitely better than Hall, that you're definitely improving your team. You're not going to trade Hall for a couple of guys, a couple of third liners. No, it can't happen. If they're going to trade someone like that, it needs to be for a guy who's definitely better. And that's a hard trade to make.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's not a lot of first, bona fide star defensemen in League Two, and they have a really high asking price. And there's not a lot of clubs that can be like, yeah, let's spare our number one or number two defenseman to bring in a, offensive guy as Hall. But
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I always come back to, you know, the Oilers, they traded away Gretzky, so anything is possible.
That's true, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll see Gretzky as a new GM if McTavish gets fired.
Maybe. No, you're right. Anything can happen. But, I mean, for their sake, it could set them back even more. But, I mean, I feel like at this point, it doesn't seem like they're just going to trade anybody. I think they're kind of waiting, which is good. But, I mean, yeah, anything can happen, really.
Yeah, but that's the thing, too. I mean, I sort of agree with you that training Hall might not be the best option. I feel like maybe letting go of Yakupov instead would be a better move for them, and they can still get a top-pairing defenseman. Maybe they can't get that elite defenseman, but they can at least get a top-pairing defenseman to put with Schultz.
Yeah, I mean, I would say out of all the guys they have, I feel like, I mean, I don't want to pile on Yakupov. I feel like he's gotten, you know, he's got a lot of criticism, but I mean, when you think about it, he doesn't play with exactly a great center. There's only one good center on that team. That's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and they don't play together. And so he doesn't, to say that he's really had the chance to shine is not true. He hasn't had that opportunity. I think, you know, can he do well on a really good team with a good centerman? I think so. You know, you hate to give up on a guy with talent, but if they had to trade somebody, I would probably go with Yakupov. He's young. He's got the potential. I mean, other teams could look at him and say, you know, he could be a top six winger for us. And he probably could get something decent back. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, because I feel like, you know, you shouldn't move Hall. You shouldn't move Nugent Hopkins. I wouldn't let go of Eberle. I really like Eberle. So
yeah.
I feel like Yakupov is the one that actually could bring something good in, and still it wouldn't be too much of a loss.
No, I wouldn't say at this point, I wouldn't say trading Yakupov would make them weaker. It depends what they get back. I mean, because the fear is always that, you know, in 3-4 years, he's going to be a superstar, which is always possible. But I mean, unless they can get the right players to play with him, I feel like he's just not going to really get much of a chance in Edmonton.
Yeah. But then how are they going to do, you know, with the goalie situation? Because they got Scrivens and they got Victor Faust. And, you know, Faust, he's on a, you know, he's going to be, his contract's up after the year. Scrivens got one more year after this season, you know. And if we look at, you know, the free agent, you know, market for next year or for this summer in goaltending, I mean, it's not a lot of, you know, really, really good.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, goaltending for the Oilers, I feel like, is probably their biggest problem. Look, they took a risk. They said, you know what, Scrivens, Fast, they look like they could be great. Let's give them a try. But you know what, Scrivens, he was with the Kings for a while, and he played well for them. But I mean, it's the Kings. You know what? The Oilers are not the Kings. So you put a guy like Scrivens with a team like Los Angeles in front of him, and yeah, he'll probably succeed. And so I think it was just a bit. It was very risky to say that maybe that can translate, you know, for the Oilers. I think there wasn't a lot of other options. Let's face it, and that. You know, there's not much you can do about that. There aren't many great goalies available. It would have to be through trade at this point. I think that Scrivens is a guy that they're probably going to want to keep more than Fast at this point. But I mean, you know, like it's not that they're bad goalies. It's just not, they need a guy who's going to stand on his head, and that's not what they've got right now.
No, and if we look at the free agent market, I mean, there's a lot of backups here. I see Jonas Gustavsson, Cam Talbot, Thomas Greiss, Devin Dubnyk, Kyrie Ramo, you know, Jason LaBarbera. But, I mean, the only, like, starters are Antti Niemi with the Sharks and Jonas Enroth from the Sabres. And, you know, I really like Jonas Enroth. I feel like he's playing really well despite being in a pretty poor team. You know, the Sabres allow a lot of shots, and sure, they've gone on a bit of a hot streak here, but, you know, he's a guy that you know, is used to seeing a lot of opportunities or a lot of shots against him. So, he might actually be able to go do a pretty solid job with Edmonton. But, you know, he's still pretty new at being a starter. So, I don't know if he would be able to play with the amount of pressure that's in Edmonton. And Antti Niemi, I don't know. I don't know if they can lure him away from California to go to Edmonton.
Well, I mean, I feel like the Sharks are not... I mean, I don't know how much they love Niemi right now. I mean, he's one of those guys, you know, he won a Stanley Cup on a great team. And, you know, not to take anything away from him. When you're a starting goalie on a Stanley Cup winning team, you still have to be decent. You know, you can't, you know what I mean? Like, he's not terrible, but I mean, he's kind of been slipping a little bit. And unfortunately, if the Oilers do sign him, it's not because he's the best, it's because he's the only one there. And that's probably not the best solution. But, you know, Enroth, I agree with you. I think he's definitely a guy who they should take a look at. If I was choosing from the list, though, I would look at Carey Ramo. I think he's got the most potential there, other than Enroth. But I mean, I'm also afraid. I look at all of these guys and I see another Scrivens and another Fast. You know, guys who look like they could be good, don't have a lot of experience. You know, and that's the Oilers don't need more of that. Unfortunately, there's just really no other options unless they make a big trade.
Yeah, and you know. It's tough. I mean, there's not a lot of goalies to spare, and I feel like the ones that are sort of available, I mean, you know, we saw Harding go through waivers. We saw Markstrom go through waivers. Those are still, I mean, Markstrom, I feel like he should be an NHL goalie. He's just in the wrong team right now because, you know, you got Ryan Miller and now I'm blanking on its name.
Eddie Lack.
Thank you. And Eddie ahead of him, so he just won't get a chance there unless, you know, one of those guys get injured. And then you got Josh Harding, who's, you know, when he's healthy, he's proven to be a really good goaltender, but there is that problem with his MS. So it's a very risky move. So, and with Markstrom, too, he's not played a lot of games, so they might want to go for something, you know, they need a sort of safe pick, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of safe goalies available.
Well, one guy that kind of like came to my mind a little bit was like Brian Elliott, because, you know, with Martin Brodeur now in St. Louis, I mean, they're going to have three goalies. I don't know. I feel like they really like Jake Allen in St. Louis. I mean, you know, we don't know how long Brodeur has, but I feel like Elliott wants to be a number... I mean, I think he could be a number one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he's the solution, but it's definitely a possibility, because I feel like he can really be a great number one goalie. And then you have the two guys in Ottawa, Anderson and Leonard. I think they can both be number ones as well. So I think there are some options, but they would be by trade, and that, you know, it makes it a little bit difficult. But I think there are possibilities. But yeah, I feel like at this point, trading for someone is better than any of the available guys that would be there this summer.
Yep, I agree. And then, you know, we mentioned that McTavish is going to go down on the bench here and sort of groom Todd Nelson, who they promoted to interim head coach from Oklahoma City. And yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, in that case, I know a lot of people might not agree, but I actually kind of like this, because they're not just putting Nelson in there coach, because it would be the exact same thing that they did with Eakins. So I feel like with having McTavish there, you know, if they still do bad, it's like Nelson's not really the coach, but he's there. So he's getting some experience, but he's not the one that's going to take all the heat if things go bad. Like McTavish actually, you know, is going to put even more of the heat on himself, was like, he's already the GM, he's already getting a lot of negative, you know, negative reactions, and now he's putting all this responsibility on him. So I actually like that move. I don't think Nelson's ready to be a head coach, especially not for the Oilers. So I would hope that McTavish stays there, I mean, at least till the end of the season, and then, you know, see what they've got after that. Because the worst thing is for Nelson to be there for a year, year and a half, then gets fired. Because, it almost feels like that's what would happen. So I kind of like the fact that he's not on the chopping block right now because McTavish is there. So I think that's actually kind of a good idea. And, I mean, I think Nelson's a good coach, but, I mean, who knows? Who knows with a team like the Oilers? The last thing they want is another inexperienced AHL guy, so I think it's good that McTavish is there at the moment.
Yeah, I don't question the move as such. I'm just wondering if, you know, McTavish is... I don't even know if he's the right guy to be the GM for the Oilers anymore.
Oh, I don't think so, but, I mean, that's a decision the owner has to make.
Yeah, and I mean, it might be good for him, too. I mean, just seeing the players and more than just being, you know, high up above as the GM usually is during a game and actually see how they are from the bench, and then he can probably make more informed decisions on who to trade and, you know, all that stuff. And
definitely,
you know, Oklahoma City, they were in the news here yesterday, Thursday. They are not going to be the Oilers AHL affiliate anymore and will cease operations after this season. And that sort of sparked the whole AHL going west discussion again. And for those who don't know, the Edmonton Oilers owns the Bakersfield Condors in the ECHL, and a lot of talk now that if they can get a couple more teams out west, then Bakersfield would just become an AHL team.
Yeah, I kind of feel for the fans in Oklahoma City. Like, they've got some passionate hockey fans there, so it's going to be losing. But, you know, obviously the Oilers have to do what they feel is best for them regarding, you know, where their farm team's going to be. So, but yeah, I have to say I kind of feel for the fans down there, because I know, you know, and the team's been pretty good as well. So they've kind of enjoyed having a competitive team to watch. So it's a shame for them. But, I mean, you know, that's the business of the way the AHL works, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I do think that it's a good thing that we get this discussion, and hopefully we'll get some AHL team out west, because, you know, it's just ridiculous that you got, you know, let's just take the Arizona Coyotes as an example, since I'm in Phoenix. You know, their AHL affiliate is, you know, Portland Pirates, and that's Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much as far as you can get from Phoenix.
No, you're absolutely right, and I feel like you know, teams like Toronto or Montreal or Pittsburgh, you know, have a bit of an advantage because their farm teams are so close. And it doesn't really make sense to me. I guess there's, you know, business reasons, but it doesn't make sense to me for the farm team to be so far away. So you're absolutely right. I would hope that there's going to be a lot more teams going west, and there's definitely markets for them. Like, I think we don't realize that there's a lot of these cities that love their teams and that get good support. So, I mean, yeah, I'm hoping that more teams go west and are actually closer to their NHL clubs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the exact numbers in attendance right in front of me right now, but I know that, for example, the Ontario Reign, which is, you know, the Kings ECHL team, which is not far from LA at all, you know, they've had really good attendance for several years. And, you know, there's talk about Anaheim maybe trying to get a team down in San Diego, and the Sharks are looking into buying the, you know, Stockton Thunder. So, I mean, I feel like that would make a lot of sense to have, you know, teams closer. They might not necessarily have to be in the same city, which, you know, I that's one thing where Toronto has an advantage that, you know, hockey is the big thing. You know, if you look at Los Angeles, you have
you know, two basketball teams to compete against. You know, you have baseball and, you know, a bunch of other sports too to compete. So I wouldn't put another team in LA proper. But I mean, if it's outside or in a smaller city that's nearby, such as Stockton would be or Bakersfield, then that would just be good business, because you can call up a player and he can be there in a couple of hours instead of having to wait pretty much a full day.
Yeah, and I mean, you know what, something else that has to be considered, you know, a lot of, you know, AHL teams, ECHL, you know, the tickets are what, like, I mean, the games I've been to, $15-$17 max, and for great seats, you know, you fans, when the tickets are that cheap, they're gonna go. So you might think that, oh, you know, it's not really a hockey market, but you know what? There's a big difference between, you know, having to pay like $100 and then having like, you know, really, really cheap tickets to go see pretty good hockey. So, I mean, I feel like teams succeed a lot more than we think they do, just because they don't get a lot of attention. But yeah, I mean, some of those California teams and teams out there, they get a lot more support than we think.
Yeah, and you know, in the case with, you know, Stockton and Bakersfield, I mean, those are pretty much the, you know, the Condors. They're sort of the big draw in the city because they don't have a lot of sports teams. You know, they have a couple of, you know, I think they have a minor league baseball team and, you know, something like that, and they don't have a huge college to compete against either. So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing out here. You know, I wouldn't put, because there was talk about, you know, maybe the Coyotes would put a team in Tucson or something like that. But I'm like, yeah, that wouldn't work because you've got, yeah, you know, University of Arizona, who, you know, is the big thing down in Tucson.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's pretty sad that, you know, there's no team west of San Antonio in the AHL right now.
It's true. Yeah.
So I think that would be good business, and hopefully we'll learn more in late January.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just make good business and, you know, fun for these smaller markets to get an AHL team, because, you know, the level of play is between the AHL and the ECHL is definitely a pretty big step up.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. The Oilers talk is over. No, but I feel like, you know, it's not 100% sure that it's going to be Bakersfield. Maybe they, you know, decide to go somewhere else, but I don't really know if they would be able to maybe put a team in Canada even. What, I don't really know how the landscape is looking up there.
Well, I mean, there's always, you know, there's always a possibility. Ideally to have the team in Canada makes sense, you know, because you don't have to cross the border all the time, because it's more of a pain than people realize, especially if you need a player right away. And there's always a market for teams, but I mean, you know, there's just so many factors that go into it. It's just hard to say at this point.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, but definitely good that they got the discussion rolling there.
So, I
think they were saying that they need at least like four teams out west before it, you know, to make it a viable option.
Right.
So, yeah, if we got Bakersfield and Stockton and San Diego and then Ontario Reign. I mean, that's four teams right there. The thing with San Diego, though, is they need somewhere to play, I think.
Okay, well, yeah, obviously that's a
pretty big issue. So we'll see if they can work that out. And I don't know, because San Diego, they have, you know, football, baseball, and, you know, some college sport, but I feel like a hockey team there wouldn't be the worst idea.
No, I think it's a good sports town. I mean, you never know. It could be one of those untapped markets that can end up being really successful. Like I said, the ticket prices are going to be low, so it's not as if, you know, you're asking people to spend like $80 a game on something that they're not sure if they like. So could be a good opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, the players, I bet, wouldn't mind it because San Diego is just a wonderful city.
Exactly.
So yep, they'll be like, oh, I'm going to San Diego. Okay, cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah, well, the ball is rolling. We'll see if we get more news here soon. And with that, we're going to say goodbye and happy holidays and all that good stuff. We'll take a short break here over the holidays, and we'll see you in 2015. And as usual, make sure to visit thehockeywriters.com for all the great articles we have up there and all our great writers. And then if you want to send in suggestions about what you want us to talk about on the show, you can find me on Twitter at Seb Noren. That's SebNoren. And you find Marcy at, I want to say, Marcy THW.
Yep, MarcyThw.
Yep, got it right. So, yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Kwanzaa, or whatever you say. Is it Happy Kwanzaa, maybe?
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. And we'll see you in 2015. Goodbye.